Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." And now we turn to the Old Testament and to the book of Psalms, Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Our text will be, which will be a portal into this whole psalm, will be verse 24. We'll read the whole psalm. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, 'His mercy endures forever.' Let the house of Aaron now say, 'His mercy endures forever.' Let those who fear the Lord now say, 'His mercy endures forever.' I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me, yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." And then the text, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. If you just forget about the context, then this text would seem tailor-made for a wedding. This is the day the bridegroom and bride have looked forward to for months and months. All that preparation, the invitations, yes, the flowers, the dresses, you name it all, long, long list. Finally, it has come. Wonderful text, is it not? And yet, this text does not directly speak about a wedding day. Oh, it has a lot to say about a wedding day, but it doesn't speak directly about a wedding day. It's a song of jubilation. God defeats the oppressing enemy. Israel rejoices. And that theme will also dovetail with our theme this afternoon about the ending of prayer in a doxology, an outburst of praise to God. So I preach to you the word of God from Psalm 118 with verse 24 as a porthole into that text. Under this theme, this is the day the Lord has made. And we will apply this in a Christian way. The Lord made Jesus the cornerstone of your salvation. And secondly, rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made. The Lord made Jesus the cornerstone of your salvation. Rejoice and be glad in it. So this psalm is a hymn of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for deliverance from enemies. It refers to the altar, to the temple, to a procession. But thus it was used in worship. You're going through the gates to the house of God, and there you offer praise for this wonderful victory over enemies. King and Israel, they were besieged. How often did this not happen? But the Lord provides dramatic deliverance. There's a wonderful shout about Hosanna in this psalm. Yes, the Lord, he gives the deliverance. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall. But the Lord helped me. It seems as though the king is speaking such words, that all the nations surrounded him and his people. But the Lord heard his prayers for deliverance. And so there is a king who speaks, and there's also an answer. For you read in the first verses, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. And then the refrain, for his mercy endures forever. And that could be spoken or sung antiphonally. One says the verse, and the people respond, for his mercy endures forever. And so you see that there's something in here about what we call worship. Worshiping the Lord, thanking him, bringing him offerings, singing and making music to his name. For there is the voice of rejoicing and salvation in the tents of the righteous. The hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. There is rejoicing. Not only the priests and the Levites, but the people all rejoice in the name of the Lord. And when you hear the speaker, it sounds very much like someone in the line of King David. In fact, like King David himself. And so you see that it's a psalm of exaltation. No wonder that they use this psalm at their Passover celebration. For at the Passover, also our Lord, at his last Passover, they would have used the songs of Hallel, as they called them. Psalm 111, all the way through to 118. This would have been the last song sung on Passover evening. So before Jesus went out to Gethsemane, they would have sung this psalm. Very appropriate. And when you think about it, this was a remembrance of the Exodus. And after the Lord brought them through the Red Sea, did they not stand on the other side and rejoice in the Lord? They were free, really free from slavery. And you have to put yourself in their shoes to understand how they exulted in that freedom. No wonder that they sang songs on the other side, that the Lord brought them through as on dry ground, with huge swelling crests of water like walls on either side, walls that collapsed on the Egyptian riders and horses. Moses and the children of Israel then sing, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has done valiantly," in other words. "The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation." Do you hear that line? We find it in Psalm 118 too. "He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces." And in our psalm, "Yes, the Lord's right hand has done valiantly, done gloriously." And you know that at the end of this song of joy on the other side of the Red Sea, they also spoke prophetically. "You will bring them in and plant your people in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established." A prophecy, how the Lord would put his dwelling place in Zion, at Jerusalem. And this song also speaks about going through the gates to God's house to praise him there. You see, all these things coming back. The words of Moses are being repeated in this psalm. And later on in history, Israel has much more to sing about than the Exodus from Egypt. The Lord gave King David many victories. He could use this psalm. He had enemies on all sides. They surrounded him like bees buzzing around him. And the Lord tests him severely. But he doesn't surrender in David to death. He can live and sing God's praise. He places him over all the 12 tribes of Israel. He allowed him to defeat the giant Goliath in the name of the Lord. And though enemies encircled him at times, the Lord delivered him with astounding victories. And there's more to follow. You can think about King Hezekiah and the people of Judah who faced that innumerable host of King Sennacherib and his Assyrian armies. There were at least 180,000 Assyrian soldiers. What could King Hezekiah and Judah do? They went to the house of the Lord to pray. They put it all before the Lord, and also the threats of this king who serves the idols of gold, of silver, of bronze, and stone. They put all his threats before the Lord. And then the Lord would stand up for his name. God answers dramatically. We read that on a certain night, the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. The blasphemous king had to return home, and when he does, he's assassinated by his sons. And this tremendous victory over King Sennacherib is immortalized in poetry. The Assyrian came down like a wolf on the fold, and his cohorts were gleaming in purple and gold, and the sheen of their spears was like the stars on the sea when the blue wave rolls nightly on deep Galilee. Like the waves of the, like the leaves of the forest when summer is green, that host with their banners at sunset were seen. Like the leaves of the forest when autumn has blown, that host on the morrow lay withered and strown. For the angel of death spread his wings on the blast and breathed in the face of the foe as he passed, and the eyes of the sleepers waxed deadly and chill, and their hearts but once heaved and forever grew still. The Lord gives much cause to rejoice over their enemies. And that's the theme in our verse. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The victory belongs to the Lord. It's a day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice. And so in this song of deliverance, with its procession of triumphant shouting and joy in the Lord, Israel says, his love endures forever. And that's a refrain that keeps coming back. They go through the gate. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. And so they go through that gate. And you know, when you and I think of that, then of course, we also think of our Lord Jesus Christ. We think of his own words. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find life. Jesus is that gate through which we may enter and sing for joy, because of the salvation and victory he has given. The nations may throw contempt on him, but the Lord reverses the fortunes. The worldly powers align together against the Lord and his anointed. Well, they disdain his ruler, our Lord Jesus. But our Lord Jesus becomes the most important stone in the structure of the new world order. And as a result, the people and the priests praise their leader, their Davidic king. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in festal procession up to the horns of the altar. Praise the Lord. Many think of King David. But we especially think of the great King David, our Lord Jesus Christ. For the fullest meaning comes in the New Testament. Not the exodus from Egypt, but the exodus that Jesus wonderfully accomplished in Jerusalem is the highlight. And if you know your Bible well, you cannot miss how many times the gospel in the New Testament quotes this psalm. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Psalm 118 was used by the Jews, also by our Lord, as I said, at Passover, their Independence Day, when they celebrated how the Lord set them free from slavery, brought them through the Red Sea, through a wilderness for 40 years, and into the land of promise. And they would sing this song, this Hallel song, a song of praise. And we know from Matthew 26 that at the end of the Passover, Jesus and his disciples sang a psalm of praise, a psalm, probably Psalm 118. Jesus often quotes this song. Matthew 21 records it, which we read. Mark 12 records it. Luke 20 records it. Peter also quotes it, as we can read in Acts chapter 4, when they ask him how the cripple at the gate called Beautiful was healed. They healed him in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Again, our psalm. Paul quotes it in Ephesians 2. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And so, it is a very famous psalm. And it speaks about our Lord Jesus Christ. If we read the verses 25 to 26 about Hosanna, which means save, pray, and you think back to how Jesus entered Jerusalem on a colt, and they sang, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So Jesus is king. The crowd acclaims him. He brings victory and salvation. He overcomes the devil in the desert. He heals and overcomes all manner of sickness. And on the cross, he will bring life and victory. He is the cornerstone of our salvation. When Jesus celebrates his last Passover, he really looked forward to it. You note how he speaks of fulfilling the Exodus. For the bread which we break is my body, and this cup is my blood. It's not the Passover lamb, but it's me. I am the Passover lamb. I will protect your homes with my blood. I will give you salvation. No wonder that Jesus commands, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. For he has become our salvation. He is our strength and our song. And so this song was used quite often, many occasions, but especially by our Lord to fulfillment of his ministry. And so the people, when they sing this, especially in the Lord's time, they must realize how it speaks of him. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. The stone which the builders in Israel rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The Jewish leaders fiercely hate Jesus, desiring to kill him. But he warns them frequently, you are the builders who reject this chief cornerstone. But the Lord will uphold me. It's as though Jesus says when he quotes the psalm, did you hear that? The Lord is speaking about me and about you builders. Heed it. Take the warning. But no, they continue with their plots and conspiracies to have Jesus put to death. It seems they succeed, for he hangs on the cursed cross. Succeed? No. Is he gone? No. On the third day, Jesus rises. The grave stands empty, with the grave cloth still lying wrapped in their place. And so, he does valiantly. He has overcome. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And when I think of this song and what Jesus Christ did, then I think especially of Easter, the day that he rose and finished that salvation for us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, let us rejoice and be glad in it. In the time when Jesus was crucified, they did not rejoice right away. They sat there mourning. They were sad. They were weeping. But that depression turns to joy, because they're told, he is not here in this tomb. He is risen. Remember what he said. He told you. And when that reality sets in, they practice what this psalm says, praise to God. Every day, even in the temple, in the first days, they praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Life, not death, prevails. Now forgiveness of sins and salvation apply instead of judgment and hell. Though men reject and condemn Jesus, the Father demonstrates this is his way to fulfill Scripture and salvation for us. It is his will that prevails. And he accepts his Son. He raises him up, crowns him with glory, and seats him on his right hand in heaven. All who believe in Jesus benefit from this marvelous victory. You children love to sing this song. This is the day the Lord has made. You sing it in rounds with a joyous voice. Remember that it sings of the victory of Jesus over sin, over Satan, and over all his enemies. And that's the day that we remember, a day to celebrate. We regularly celebrate the Lord's Supper, the victory of the Lord over sins, over death, and over Satan. As promised also in this song. And you know, our lives stand in the light of this song. Our marriages also stand in the light of this song, of his victories over our enemies. And that means our sins are forgiven. We are clean in God's eyes. And think of marriage. When God gives that grace that we can share together, what a wonder. It's the cement that holds us together. It makes life good. We learn to forgive each other and to live for each other as Christ not only lived for us, but also died for us. One day Jesus will present you as his bride without spot or wrinkle. And you are promised glory with your bridegroom. Not death, but life has the final word. And so you have an outlook toward the future, which is an outlook of glory and hope. And we can celebrate. You can celebrate not only at a wedding, but in many different ways and on different occasions. And even when the skies are gray and there's trouble, we can still remember what the Lord has given and rejoice. There will be days of trouble. Lord, save us. O Lord, give us prosperity, as verse 25 says. But the Lord will deliver on his word. The great David who died but who lives in glory will come in glory to claim us all. And then we will rejoice even more, even for eternity. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.